Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. But I am not Jenna Ellis, as I think you can hear. This is E.W. Jackson in for Jenna this week. Hope she gets a very restful time off. And I'm standing in for an honor to do so. Thank you all for your support, and thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you for everything you do to make it possible for American Family Radio to do what we do. Well, we've got big news today, don't we? So let's get right to it, shall we? First of all, of course, this terrible shooting in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Another situation in which an apparently gender-confused individual decides to take out their anger and vengeance against a group of Christian children, just like Uvalde. Now, I think this may be this is the second shooting, but I believe this is the third situation in which something like this has been threatened by a person who was gender confused. But even two is enough to suggest that there's something going on here. And let's just talk a little bit about what is going on before we even get into some of the crazy stuff that the demoncrats are now saying. Look, this is demonic. Okay, this is a demonic spiritual attack. And apparently there is a manifesto and a YouTube video of what this crazed shooter had to say. I mean, this guy was out, even used the phrase mashallah. And of course, I don't know whether this person considered themselves to be some kind of transgender Muslim or something, but mashallah means God wills it. And it's a phrase that is used particularly by radical Muslims to suggest any wicked, evil, disgusting thing they do, God wills it, because if God didn't will it, it wouldn't happen. Well, I mean, that's really just fatalism. But of course, folks, and I can say on this network what I would not be permitted, frankly, to say pretty much anywhere else I can think of in any major media in America, which is Islam is a false cult. It is an idolatrous religious movement. It is ancient, but that doesn't make it any more right just because it's ancient. Goes back to the 8th century, but it's still just a demonic cult worshiping a false god. So these folks believe, just like remember when the pilots were training to attack us on 9/11, and they were learning to take off, but they weren't interested in learning to land. And you remember that story about how some of the instructors said, well, you know, you've got to land because obviously, you know, the plane takes off, it's got to land. You don't want to crash. And the response of the Muslims would be, mashallah. Basically, if God wills it, he wills it. In other words, if we crash, we crash. Because if we crash, it means because God wills it. Well, I mean, that is just so bizarre, fatalistic, weird thinking. But this guy somehow wove that in to his comments. He had one firearm that was labeled "Kill Donald Trump." He clearly wanted to kill Christians. In this case, he attacked a Catholic church, but I think it was just more Christianity in general that he opposes. Now, I said this is demonic because you and I understand this, but the world does not. When I say the world, of course, I mean the non-Christian world does not, which is there is a devil formerly named Lucifer. He is the adversary of God. He has an army of demonic hosts that are in every way they can trying to fill people's minds and hearts with hatred, murder, destruction, sexual deviancy, robbery, rape, you name it. Any destructive thing they can come up with. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if it's killing, stealing, destroying, he's the man. He's the one. And so this whole gender thing is just totally demonic. Now I want to share something with you, and you all think about this, if you will, because I know the first time I mentioned this, I had sort of people just kind of stopped and said, wow, I never thought about that. Satan is the first trans, because he is the first being that God created who rebelled against what God made him to be and decided that he was going to find his identity in being something else other than what God made him to be. See, the whole trans movement is a movement of rebellion against Almighty God, and Satan started it, because Satan is the first being to say, I was not meant to be an angel. I was meant to be God. I was created the wrong way. I should be God. I will exalt my stars above the throne of God. I will sit on the sides of the north. I will be the Most High. I was made an angel, but I'm not satisfied with that. That's wrong. I should be God. You see that it's spiritually the same thing as I was made a man, but that's wrong. I should be a woman. I was made a woman, but that's wrong. I should be a man. It's the same spirit of rebellion. And it's just interesting that we're seeing this emerge in this kind of aggressive way in these last days, in these modern times, where, you know, we know that there have always been people, because the Bible speaks against it. In the book of Leviticus, if I'm not mistaken, speaks against cross-dressing and men wearing the clothes of women and vice versa, and against all the sexual deviancy. In fact, the Bible mentions it. You know, there are those who want to say, well, the Bible doesn't only mentions that once. No, every time you read in the Old Covenant where you have a revival and a king, it says he banned the perverted persons. The perverted persons it's talking about are homosexuals, sodomites. That's who it's talking about. It says he banned them. So not only is there their explicit commandment against it, but you see it playing out. Remember, see, you saw it play out in the book of Judges, where a man visiting from Ephraim, and where was he? I forget exactly where he was when suddenly men came to the door and they wanted the homeowner to send out the visitor. I think he was from the mountains of Ephraim, send him out so that they could have sex with him. And he didn't want to do that. He sent out this man's concubine, and of course they basically abused her to death. And the same thing that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels came to visit a Lot. And the men came and they wanted him to send these new men out because we want to basically sexually assault them. I mean, you see the story played out over and over and over and over and over again. People say, well, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. Jesus said every word of the old covenant was true. He said, do not think that I came to subvert the law, undo the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. He said, and not one dot, not one tittle will go unfulfilled. And Jesus was saying every single word of it is true. And what does the old covenant do? The old covenant condemns homosexuality. It condemns all the sexual deviancy. So this folks, is deeply, deeply demonic. But of course, when you don't know God and you don't have God, you can only revert to one thing, which is a mechanistic view of the world. That's the view that Karl Marx had. It's not people that are responsible. It's a mechanism. It's the society. It's the system. It's capitalism. And in this case, it's the gun. The gun's the problem. Because if the person didn't have a gun, they would be good. I mean, how many times have we seen now people use trucks, vehicles, knives? In England, particularly, there are a lot of knife attacks because they managed to disarm the law-abiding citizens. They're often vulnerable to knife attacks. But it's the same human heart that produces the result, that it just uses a different instrument. Well, you need truck control, you need knife control, you need brick control, you need stick control, you need bat control. I mean, it's a never-ending process, because you blame the mechanism and people will always find another mechanism. And the problem is not the gun. The problem is not the AR-15. The problem is not the... And one stupid reporter at CNN said they can pull the trigger and just fire multiple shots by pulling the trigger once. And, you know, I am just amazed that people who claim to be educated and people who are supposed to be informing us can be that ignorant. It's just amazing to me. Because it tells me you don't even pass the initial test to me, or certainly one important test of what a journalist ought to have, which is intellectual curiosity. That, you know, when these things come up, you ought to want to try to get the facts. You ought to want to try to inform yourself. You ought to try to, you know, at least have enough information that you feel like you can speak with some intelligence and authority. Even though you don't know everything about the subject, you know something. You know enough that you can speak intelligently about the limited subject matter you intend to cover. You don't even know that you are not allowed to. None are manufactured none are manufactured, but let's put it this way. It is not legally allowable for a citizen. I understand there can be some exceptions, but not legally allowable for a citizen to own an automatic weapon. Remember, a lot of consternation over Glock and the ability to adapt a Glock so that it fires automatically. But a semi-automatic weapon, which they don't know the difference between semi-automatic and automatic, is a weapon that fires once and immediately loads another round into the chamber without you having to do anything. That's called semi-automatic. As opposed to a weapon that you have to rack, like some rifles, of course, and like some shotguns, where you have to literally rack the next round into the chamber in order for it to be ready to fire. It does not do that on its own. There are semi-automatic shotguns, by the way. As a matter of fact, the M12 JTS is, and Benelli makes one, there are a number of companies that make semi-automatic shotguns that automatically load a shotgun shell, but most shotguns do not. Most of what people own do not. But a semi-automatic weapon is one that immediately loads another round into the chamber once you fire it. But you can't pull the trigger and fire multiple rounds. But that's what a CNN, you know, he's able to pull the trigger and fire multiple rounds. Just a bunch of just misinformation, and people who are ignorant of firearms who hear that, that's terrible. We've got to outlaw that. It's already outlawed. Yeah, it's already outlawed. And frankly, from my perspective, I don't see why it should be, because I think that a firearm in the hands of a law-abiding citizen to be used in a safe and appropriate way, really, I don't see why a semi-automatic versus an automatic should be any kind of issue. But that's for another discussion. The point is, it's already outlawed, and that's not what this guy had. He did not have an automatic weapon. And yeah, guy, it was not, you know. this person was confused about who they were, but this was a man who desperately wanted, apparently, to be a woman. But you can't be, because God made you a man. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson and Jenna Ellis. Stand by. We're coming back.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Well, having said that, folks, 2 killed, 17 injured, this attack on children. So our hearts really do go out to the families that are affected by this, the 2 children whose lives have been taken. We do need to be praying for them. I'm sure you all have heard that already the Democrats have said they don't want to hear prayers and thoughts. These people have no idea the power of prayer. They really don't. They have no idea. But because they hate God and they hate us and they hate what we represent, they can't help but go immediately to condemning us for praying for people, which is just, again, just bizarre. I guess there's going to be more about this manifesto and the ideology, the sexual deviant ideology behind this person's action. I said, I think it was yesterday, but I know I've said it. If it were not yesterday, then it was maybe the day before that. These people are after our children. They are after our children. Because again, if you're angry at the world over perhaps not accepting your mental and emotional and sexual confusion, okay? You're angry at the world over that. Why do you want to kill children? Again, but does that make any sense at all? No, it doesn't. I mean, because the children don't even know what you're dealing with. They have nothing to do with it. They have really no say in the affairs of society. They're innocent. We're teaching them, developing them, hoping for them to become responsible citizens one day, but they are completely out of the debate. Why in the world do you want to target them? Well, again, Satan. Because he is a killer. He is a destroyer. And he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, why not? What better way to shock the conscience than to kill kids? Because normal human beings recoil at that. And just, I mean, it gets our blood boiling. Like I've said now, of course, we're Christians. We believe in the rule of law and we believe in due process. But we all know that if we allowed our imagination to run free, what we would do to this person, if we actually had an opportunity to catch them in the act of trying to do this. And by the way, they would deserve it. Okay, they would deserve it. So, I mean, this stuff makes your blood boil. And for these people to we don't need your thoughts and prayers. We need gun control. And again, how many guns has the president and the National Guard taken off the streets of Washington, D.C.? And not a single one of those guns was taken out of the hands of law-abiding citizens, because law-abiding citizens are not allowed to have firearms, and yet there are plenty there. So, this is Marxist thinking, folks, just to connect the dots here. Because, again, as I said about prison, Marx believed that you shouldn't build prisons and put people in prison. Of course, when communists take over, that's exactly what they do. But because the people, it's not the people's fault. People are good. It's the system that causes them to do these bad things. And once you correct the system, guess what? You will have perfect people. They will live in a utopia and they will be perfect too. They'll have no reason to steal. They'll have no reason to kill. They'll have no reason to commit murder, rape, robbery. None of they will have. And no reason to do that, because communism will relieve them of all of that. All of those negative emotions and motivations will dissipate with the wonderful utopia that communism creates. So likewise, I mean, did you hear the interview with Brendan Johnson, who was asked repeatedly by the likes of Joe Scarborough, do you think it would help if you had 5,000 more police officers on the streets of Chicago? And he says, I think it would reduce crime if we had more affordable housing. Again, folks, if you try to apply facts and logic to that, your brain just goes on tilt because it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, let me get the logic of this. So here you have a robber. Here you have a rapist. Here you have a child molester. Here you have a murderer. Here you have a gangbanger. Here you have a drug dealer. And you create affordable housing, and they say, wow, you know what? I don't have to go out and rob anybody, rape anybody. I don't have to engage in gang warfare. I don't have to steal anything. I don't have to. I've got affordable housing now. My life is transformed. Why in the world would I commit any further crimes? I've got affordable housing. I mean, you and I both know that is, I mean, it's just so stupid that you don't even know what to do with that. But that's the way they think. You provide some things to these people and suddenly their character, which is really good anyway, will then truly express itself for the wonderfully peaceful, law-abiding citizens they really are.
Right.
Well, look, I've got a guest coming up in the next segment I've been talking about all week. Hannah's Heart is coming up. Ann Cockrell will be joining me. She is really the originator, the founder of Hannah's Heart. So we'll be talking to her. Boy, what a time to do it. And where these two children have lost their lives, a time to be talking about the importance of children and doing what we can to help people have children and carry their children to term. So that's going to be an interesting discussion. Stand by for that. That's going to be coming up in the final segment of the program. I also want to mention to you, we are in day, every day I have to do this, don't I? Because time just gets by. We are in day 56 of Project 76. We got exactly 20 days left. So if you have not responded yet with prayer, please pray for us. We really do covet your prayers, and I really mean that. So prayer, pray for our country, pray for Stan, and pray for the work that we do to continue. Go to our website. You can volunteer if you'd like to start a Stan chapter in your area. And believe me, it's really not that hard. It's not that intense. Of course, you can make it as intense as you want it to be, but it's really not that intense. It's really more about creating a group of people who can respond to some of the issues that you face and coalesce with other organizations in order to do that. And we'll show you how. We'll make it very easy. So you can go to the website, standamerica.us, standamerica.us, if you want to sign up, communicate with us, go to contact, and we've got a little spot there for you to sign up and give us your information and tell us what you'd like to do. You can write out a little prayer there if you'd like to encourage us and pray for us. And if you'd like to give, standamerica.us, just click on the donate button and you can give. We've encouraged people to give anywhere from $1 a day, which would be $76, or $100,000 a day. Well, folks, I can dream, can't I? But whatever you give, of course, we'll be deeply appreciative and have been and will continue to be, because we know that you don't have to give a dime to anything that you don't choose to. And when you give, we know you give out of your heart from your own hard-earned income. And we want to make sure that we honor that by really operating with integrity and doing what God has called us to do, which is to help save this country by bringing Americans together across all racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian heritage and values and principles. I think that is the key to America's tremendous success as a nation, the unprecedented success as a nation, the most successful nation in the history of mankind. And again, it's not because we're genetically superior people. It is because our culture is rooted and grounded in faith in Almighty God and acknowledgement of Him and an acknowledgement that we are all ultimately accountable to Him. I think that's been the key to America's success. And we are the only nation founded on the principle that rights and liberty come from God, not from people. And we want to make sure we preserve that for our posterity until Jesus comes. So you want to help us do that, again, go to our website, standamerica.us. By the way, if the internet is not your thing and you want to talk to somebody, feel free to call us. If you want to volunteer, call us at 757-439-1458. That's 757-439-1458. But if you want to give and you don't like giving online, call us at 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. You know, thank God that in spite of these horrible tragedies like the one that's just happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota, we've got a president now who is really taking action to try to bring, again, peace to our streets. Because no matter what these people say about reductions in crime, whether Chicago or Washington, D.C., I really believe that they're lying, number one. But even if they have somehow figured a way to manipulate the numbers so that what they're saying is on some level accurate, the reality is the people in these cities do not feel safe because they know that they can be carjacked, robbed. I don't know how many people I've seen. Yeah, I was robbed. I was robbed. I mean, reporters and politicians and people say, yeah, somebody, you know, robbed me as I was getting into my car at my house, carjacked me. I mean, this stuff should not be happening, folks. And I've told you all, I've been back and forth to D.C. a lot, less so in recent years, but still, I'm back and forth to D.C. a lot. I don't like to drive my car in Washington, D.C. for that very reason, because these carjackings happen in broad daylight, right out in the open. Somebody sticks a gun in your face and demands your car. And we have learned they will kill you over it. And then you're going to have these people lecturing us about how crime is down? I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. Well, look, on another story, by the way, you all probably don't know who Julian Epstein is. Julian Epstein is a homosexual. He's a Democrat. And even he is saying that the Democrat Party has become, his words now, maybe he's been listening to me, a cult that worships weird progressive idols. I'm hearing him lately. I'm wondering whether this man's had a change of heart and a change of life. But he says, yes, the Democrats are now a cult that worships weird progressive idols. Now, that's from a Democrat who, to my knowledge, at least heretofore, has been identified as homosexual. So I, folks, God is waking people up. You know, I'm hoping people like that will ultimately come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The other thing is, I mentioned Snoop Dogg the other day because he made this comment about taking his grandson, by the way, his grandson to a movie, and you got two lesbians engaged in a lesbian kiss, and it's supposed to be they're having a baby, and his grandson saying, "Grandpa, what's going on here?" And he was, in a very funny way, but of course laced with profanity. That's the way he talks. Say, you know, you all putting me in the middle of this, and I don't know. I don't go to the movie to try to answer those kinds of questions with my grandson. And what? Well, he was scheduled to appear in Australia at some big sports event. Again, I guess his rapping, because again, I don't follow these people. I don't know. I know how he started out, but I guess his rapping is still pretty vulgar. But they had assured people that it would be family friendly. So he's able to cross over these days. But they're now planning to cancel him. The word is out now they're going to cancel him because he made these hateful statements. Hateful statement? That you don't want to talk to your grandson about sexual behavior in adults? And somehow that's hateful? Folks, we know who the real haters are. I mean, these people really are full of hatred. They really are. Because, again, I don't know how old his grandson is, but Bud Lightyear, I've never seen Bud Lightyear, but I mean, for a kid to be even be interested or attracted to that, was, I mean, kid's probably 7, 8 years old, maybe. I mean, teenagers, I don't think, want to see Bud Lightyear. And to have to explain to your grandson why two lesbians are kissing on screen in a children's movie and having a baby is, and you're the hateful one, I would say the people who shoved that mess in front of families and their children, they're the hateful ones, because they, what they're saying is, we hate everything you stand for and represent, and we're going to intrude our way into your families unbeknownst to you, and we're going to force you to deal with issues that we think are important, whether you like it or not. Now, to me, that's about as arrogant and about as dismissive of the concerns of others, and frankly, in some ways, about as hateful as you want to get. Because what you're saying is, I disregard you. You don't matter. I'm going to walk on top of you to get what I want. And we don't have a hateful bone in our body. We're disgusted by this behavior, and we hate this behavior and this way of thinking. But we know these people are really pathetic, and they really do need prayer. And I'm talking about the top executives at Disney, the people who think somehow they're accomplishing something. It's like this Cracker Barrel CEO who thinks somehow, you know, doing all this racial, sexual weirdness in Cracker Barrel. I haven't been to their website, but I've been told that their website has got all this stuff on it about, you know, we affirm LGBTQ, blah, blah, blah. And look, folks, let's just get right down to brass tacks here. They're talking about people's sexual proclivities. Who cares? No one wants to know that, but they believe we've got to, because that makes them feel better. This is Bishop B.W. Jackson, and for Jenna Ellis, stand by. I'll be back with our guest in just a moment.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because Preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies Preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers Preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 babies by the end of the year. And they can't do that without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound, the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Folks, we've been talking all week about Hannah's Heart and Bibles for Babies, and we finally have the originator of Hannah's Heart with us today, one of our hosts here on American Family Radio, Ann Cockrell. Ann, welcome to Jenna Ellis in the Morning. I'm sitting in for her, obviously, but I'm happy to have you as a guest today. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, look, let's start by telling people, how did Hannah's Heart start? What's what's behind it?
So Hannah's Heart, we focus mainly on couples struggling with infertility, miscarriage, child loss, those type of things, very hard situations and just encourage them to hopefully cling to Christ along the way, even when your life looks a lot different and you're going through something a lot different than what you ever imagined. My husband and I walked through infertility for just about 4 years before we ever had our babies. And in 2023, we actually walked through child loss of our baby boy. He lived on this earth for about 27 minutes and then went on to glory after that. And so that is where my heart for Hannah's heart came from. And so I work at AFA already in donor support, and I got to talk to so many of our wonderful donors and listeners there. But as I was there, I just felt like the Lord was calling me to do something. And so I went to leadership about the idea of something. And I was thinking I would hand it off to someone else who already had a show because I knew nothing about being on the radio. And leadership was like, no, if this is going to happen, we need you to do it. And so I met Kendra, who is a co-host with Hannah's Heart, and we just kind of got the ball running from there, and we've loved every second. There's lots of hard stories that we've covered on our show, but in each story we see the hand of God and see how he can move, and if you allow him to make something beautiful from ashes, he really will each time.
Well, Ann, I'm a pastor, and I have walked with people through these kinds of tragedies, so I've got some sense of what's involved. But a lot of people probably either haven't experienced it themselves, or maybe they don't know anyone intimately who has. But this is these are very painful situations, aren't they? Infertility or miscarriage. They can be devastating, can't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, for sure. And they can feel really isolating, and I think that's right where the enemy wants you whenever you're walking through something, and to feel like you're all alone because it seems like the rest of your friends have had babies or another baby and another baby, and you're still sitting there, you know, with an empty extra bedroom in your house. And I know I used to tell people the silence in the morning can feel so loud when you're wanting a baby, you know, to fill that house when you're by yourself. And so, it can definitely feel like you're in. We want to start this to let people know they're not.
Right, they're not alone. Exactly. Now, you've probably dealt with this, too. I know I have as a pastor. Because you talk about the silence of not hearing a baby's cry when you so desperately want a child. And the sense that, God, why me? Why is this happening to me? Walk us through that a little bit, because I would imagine people would wonder, well, what's wrong with me? Is God punishing me? Why doesn't God love me? I mean, I would imagine that can lead to a lot of spiritual crisis in the lives of people, can't it?
Oh, yeah. And we've heard story after story of, you know, someone thinking because of something they did in high school or a decision they made before they got married, you know, affecting, you know, their ableness to have a child. And I always try to encourage people, like, yeah, there are consequences of our sins, and we know that, but I don't believe that our God works like that to just, you know, hold something over our head all the time. He's a God of forgiveness and a God of truth, but also of grace. And we got to see that firsthand through our walking through infertility, to know, because we did ask those questions, you know, God, what did we do? Why do we deserve this? We're desiring a baby. And to be able to see, like, that's not how God works. Now, God used that time of desiring a baby to change my heart and to show me where my flaws were that I had never dug down deep to see before. And I fully believe that walking through infertility, once you do have that answered prayer, no matter if it's through adoption, we have adopted, we did foster care and adopted through there, and then we've also been blessed with biological children. And so it helps you to see and to really understand, like, how good of a blessing children really are. And I feel like we live in a world today that children can honestly feel like a task, you know, each day. Well, they're just another burden, something else to take care of. And it says in Scripture that they are a blessing and a gift from God. And I fully believe that the Lord has been able to show me that after my desire for children, you know, lasted as long as it did.
And when someone gets a diagnosis, say, for example, the doctor says, you know, you really can't have children, and a woman has to deal with the devastating news. But there's hope, isn't there? I mean, you just mentioned, first of all, you had children in spite of what you thought were infertility problems.
That's right.
And there's adoption. So talk a little bit about people not feeling hopeless over it and not giving up.
Well, I was that person. We had gone to an infertility specialist for a few years, and he finally, one of my appointments, he looked at me one day. He was like, "Ann, I've done all that I can do. You know, the next round is for sure IVF for you if you want to have babies." And at that point in our life, and to know the thing, you know, specific things about IVF that we didn't necessarily agree with, we just didn't feel led to go that route. And at that time, we had three children in our home through foster care. And one of those kiddos, he was an infant at the time, but he is now my son. And after we received that news, we were like, you know, Lord, if this is it, if we need to do foster care, if we need to adopt, like, so be it. I finally got to that point of saying, God, like, it's okay. I need you. And past that, you know, I just need to trust you with whatever my life is going to look like. And I still don't understand why, but when I got to that point, I was standing at my washing machine that day where I just had to lift my hands up and say, God, I'm praising you in this storm, and I'm going to trust you. And all of a sudden, that was February. And then by May, after taking infertility meds, all of those were gone. May, I found out I was pregnant with our little girl, Jane, and that next year, we also got to adopt our son, Mark. And so God just answers Amen. Our prayers so differently than what we would have written them out, you know. But yeah, I'm on the other side of it now. And so I understand when you're walking through it and you hear stories like this, it's like, well, it's easy for you to say because now you have three answered prayers living, you know, under your roof now. But God is still good in the valleys. We just have to look for it. And that's why we started Bibles for Babies, was to help crisis pregnancy centers, specifically Parkgate Pregnancy Center during this time, but to pull the blinders off of our eyes of infertility and miscarriage. Those are so hard things to walk through. But to realize that these young girls that are possibly walking through crisis pregnancies, their heart looks a lot different than ours. But their heart is still the same, and those young girls, they need Jesus. And so that is how our hearts opened to that and saw, and you know, we thought, okay, this is a wonderful way to encourage our listeners who, even though we're walking through child loss and through infertility, miscarriage, this is still a way to open our eyes and to realize, like, God, she still needs you, just like I need you.
And, you know, you can speak authentically because you've been on both sides of this equation. You've gotten the victory over it, but you know what that valley is like. And so when you speak to a mother who's going through it, you're not speaking theoretically. you have actually been there.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's very hard. Yeah. And I understand, you know, feeling like no one else understands, you know, you when you're around other people with, you know, babies and strollers, and, you know, you still don't have a reason to have a stroller. And so it's a very lonely place to be. But I encourage anyone that might be listening in, unfortunately, you probably know, if you're not struggling with infertility or miscarriage, you know someone who is. The statistics now are so high. It's 1 in 3 pregnancies that end in miscarriage, and 1 in 8 couples struggle with infertility.
Wow.
And unfortunately, those numbers have risen even since we started Hannah's Heart almost 4 years ago.
You know, I'm reminded, you alluded to it. In fact, in the notes that I got about the program, we are going to be reunited with those children again. And again, that may seem theoretical, but that's not theoretical. That's real. Those babies are very much alive with God, aren't they?
That's right. And I look forward to it, to my time to go to glory. And to, of course, I can't wait to kneel at my Savior's feet, but I hope standing right behind him is my sweet boy waiting on me.
Amen. Amen. So talk a little bit more about Bibles for Babies. Exactly how does it work? A young lady walks into a pregnancy crisis clinic. She goes there to get some help, to get some advice. How would Bibles for Babies impact her?
So we started this last year, for the first time last year, and what happens when a girl walks into Parkgate and she receives or has her first positive pregnancy test, she receives one of these new beginner's Bibles. So it's a children's Bible. She receives that as like her first baby gift, because we know even if it's a crisis pregnancy or a pregnancy that might not have been wanted, we know that that life is sacred and that life is created in Christ, made in the image of God, and a life worth celebrating, even if it's a hard circumstance that the girl is in. And so that is her first baby gift. And the way that Parkgate saw just how valuable these Bibles are, a girl came in, from what I understand, she had never had a Bible before, and she got her positive pregnancy test at Parkgate, and they gave her one of these new beginner's Bibles. It has very pretty illustrations for children, and, you know, it's, each story is short, but it's covering, you know, the main events of creation and David and Goliath and Noah's Ark and, you know, Jesus' birth, things like that. So she took that Bible home, and from what I understand, she read that whole Bible to her little baby bump that night, and by the next day she came back to Parkgate in tears and said, I want to know this Jesus. And so it was for the first time them realizing just how, not for the first time, but how needed this is. We need to meet those spiritual needs just as much, if not more, mm-hmm. you know, than meeting the physical of, you know, they've always given out diapers and formula and, you know, so many things that we all know babies need when they first come. And Parkgate is well known for providing that for our community here in Tupelo. But to now be able to meet those spiritual needs to that baby, to make sure that that baby has a Bible in its home, that is where Bibles for Babies was born. When we heard that story, it was like, okay, how can we make sure that we're going to get more Bibles there for Parkgate for these babies that will be walking through the doors?
Praise God. So people, if they give $10, that provides a one Bible for a new baby on the way. And they can call 877-616-2396. They call that number. They can give their $10 over the phone, right?
That's right. That's right. And we have our own Dr. Nurse Mama, Jessica. She has been on the show and talked about a few miscarriages she's walked through. And then she has four kiddos here on this earth. And she encourages everyone to give in honor or in memory. Give one Bible in honor or in memory of the kiddos that you have. And so my husband and I took that challenge, and that's what we did, to honor our sweet boy in heaven. And then we've walked through miscarriages before having John Micah and before adoption and our two biological kids that we have here on earth. And so we started doing that as well. And so I think that's so neat. If you've never had a way to honor that baby you lost through miscarriage or stillbirth, to let this be it. Let this be done in their name to celebrate their life.
That is a great word, Anne. And people can also do that by going online, afr.net/Bibles for Babies. That's afr.net/Bibles for Babies. And you are doing some great work, and I know as a pastor how important it is to the many people out there. You cited the statistics who have faced infertility or miscarriage and have to walk through the pain. You're doing a great job helping people to get through it. So keep up the good work. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, Bibles for Babies, Hannah's Heart. Check it out. Do something. I know I am. Well, look, this is Bishop B.W. Jackson. I'm in for Jenna Ellis. It's been wonderful being with you as always. I will be back again tomorrow, believe it or not, to wrap up the week. Look forward to seeing you in the meantime. Talking to you anyway. I see you in my heart. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.